Coming up on KUCB News, on Alaska schools are celebrating high enrollment and test scores, while federal officials are nearing their final recommendations for a dredging project at the port. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, October 1st, 2018. The U.S. Coast Guard has called off the search for a commercial fisherman who went missing last week north of St. Matthew Island in the Bering Sea. Officials have not identified the man who was last seen aboard the FV Clipper Epic. Two C-130 Hercules air crews searched for him for more than 24 hours. They covered almost 900 square nautical miles with help from the Coast Guard cutter Monroe and the fishing vessels Clipper Epic, Frontier Spirit, and Frontier Mariner. The Coast Guard suspended the search Friday at 3 p.m., reporting no sign of the missing fishermen. On Alaska's municipal election is tomorrow, and to help prepare voters before they head to the polls, KUCB has been sharing selections from our recent candidates forum. Today, in the final installment, we'll hear from Carlos Tayag, who is running unopposed for school board seat A. During the forum, Tayag spoke about the importance of school climate and programs like Rachel's Challenge, which encourage compassion and safety.
I think it's really important that the school acknowledge that student safety and school climate is really an important thing, and they're taking time to focus on that. And I think it's important for the school board to also continue that discussion on, you know, what makes a healthy school climate, right? What contributing factors do we have to keep our kids and our teachers and people in our community in general safe? But I just think it's important for people to continue to have the conversation and for kids to know that as school board members, that we've got their back and we're going to continue to have this conversation. And hopefully we keep doing proactive things to where it's more than a conversation, where it's a movement.
We'll take another community member question here. What concrete steps would you take to make sure LGBTQ people feel included and safe at UCSD, aside from the current advocacy group?
I like that. I like that question. And I think it's important to talk about concrete steps. I think it's important to talk about concrete steps for student safety across the board. I do think that, you know, just as a community, we need to have more active conversations with people about being accepting and tolerant and compassionate. We need to talk to those students and we need ideas from those students. And I would encourage those students to step forward and know that they have my support. And I can't speak for the rest of the school board and the rest of the school, really. But I think that, like I said before, the school is open to ideas about, you know, what can foster more student support and student safety. So as far as the LGBTQ community, let's do more and let's talk and let's get more people involved. Because I think that, you know, we talked about chain reactions at Rachel's Challenge, and I think some of those students are the beginning of that chain reaction.
That was school board candidate Carlos Tayag speaking during KUCB's Candidates Forum, where he also discussed the dress code and preparing students for life after graduation. We are rebroadcasting the entire forum tonight at 8 p.m. on Channel 8 TV, so check it out if you haven't already. And don't forget to vote tomorrow. The polls open at 8 o'clock in the morning at City Hall. Unalaskans will have until 8 o'clock at night to cast their ballots. Beyond the school board race, voters will decide seats F and G on the city council. Alejandro Bongtungle is running unopposed for seat F, while Sherry Coleman and Vincent Tudiakoff Sr. vie for seat G. Enrollment is up to a record high at the Unalaska City School District. Superintendent John Conwell recently announced that 417 students are studying at the island schools. He says that's 9 more than at this time last year and almost 40 more than in fiscal year 2016 when the district struggled with an unexplained dip.
It appears that our enrollment has stabilized and may be even growing some. I'd love to see us get above 415 this year, and that would be a record for us.
Conwell says growing enrollment is very encouraging, especially as the state's official count period starts today and lasts through the 26th. More students means more state funding, which would help UCSD ride out its budget shortfall. This year, the district is planning to dip into savings to close the $210,000 gap. While school officials wait to see if enrollment will soften that blow, they're already celebrating Unalaska's results from the most recent standardized testing.
You can see again that we're ahead of the state.
Joanna Hinderberger is the district test coordinator. She says UCSD students scored above average in math, science, and English language arts on the PEAKS assessment, which stands for Performance Evaluation for Alaska Schools. Unalaska students also averaged higher scores than in the previous year in both math and English, while UCSD ranked in the top 5 for both subjects out of more than 50 districts across the state. Officials say many factors contributed to the strong results, but school board president Tammy Fowler Pound says families deserve a lot of the credit.
Our community holds education in high esteem, and they expect the people in these buildings to do their job and educate their children. And I think that the people in these buildings take that to heart and do that.
The school board's next meeting is scheduled for October 18th. After more than 20 years of playing with the idea, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is closing in on its final recommendations for a dredging project in Illilook Bay. Engineers say that removing a large sandbar could open the port of Dutch Harbor to deeper draft vessels and bigger business, but it might also affect wildlife, currents, and erosion along Front Beach. This week, the Corps is in town to present its initial findings, but first, KUCB sat down with Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin to learn more about the project.
In 1995, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers did a study that identified the entrance channel as a potential dredging project. You know, the pollock fishery was soundly going at that point, and the containerized cargo, Delta Western had fuel tankers and all those kind of things going on. And it really didn't slow down. So roughly 2010-2011 realm, some of the industry started indicating our ships are getting old and we're going to be bringing in bigger ships. And so what that meant was we couldn't get them over the bar. The bar today is about 43 feet.
And is that 43 feet deep?
43 feet deep. And truly a deep draft port. We claim that we're a deep draft port. Truly deep draft means 45 feet or greater. So the port might be deep draft, but you're not going to get a deep draft vessel in. So we started pushing these buttons with the Corps of Engineers, and we hired at that point a consultant to help get it back on the Corps' radar, basically, and say, hey, you know, we believe that there's still some very strong economic benefits to doing this.
And so that was about 3 years ago. The Corps did agree to take a fresh look at the feasibility of dredging. And in that time, what have they been studying exactly? And what are they going to present now?
They've been going through all the, you know, economic benefits, the environmental impacts, the engineering of that, looking at all the geotech. They've looked into, you know, marine life on the seafloor bed. They've looked at mammals in the area. They've identified a potential site for dumping the dredging material. And this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the Corps of Engineers is bringing out a team to present the draft feasibility study. And this is a really important milestone in terms of how the feasibility works into actually dredging. So this doesn't mean we're actually going to dredge.
Right. You've said that decision will come with the final draft in February, the complete version, when we're also likely to learn more about the cost.
And at that point, it's all about whether they can fund a project on a federal level, but they will make a recommendation as to what this project may or may not qualify for. And at that point, council has the opportunity to once again say, yeah, we are on board with this, or this isn't for us. This isn't the right timing. This isn't, you know, whatever it is.
So if those discussions are supposed to play out in February and beyond, What are we expecting to learn this week?
We should have a much better understanding of what their intentions are. Part of the study is we sent two of our Alaska Marine pilots down to do simulation work, and they spent a tremendous amount of time, because every foot of water that we go deeper meant something to the industry for the ability to navigate vessels. And there's, you know, we've bounced back and forth between 60 and 50, and I think we're settling somewhere in the 58 range. We don't know for sure what their recommendation will be, but that is one of those pieces of information that's really important that will come out in the discussions of this feasibility study.
And beyond that very important number, what else are you eager to see from their study?
I'll be really interested to understand the determinations and how they reach the determinations on the impacts or no impacts on Front Beach, what that means to currents, what that means for, like, whatever you dredge. There's always the potential of that filling back in. Those are some of the things I want to learn is, like, okay, this has got great economic benefit for us. Well, does it have economic downturns? Are we going to end up with extra erosion control on the Front Beach or long-term maintenance requirements for keeping this open?
That was Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin previewing this week's visit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. She says Unalaskans will have three opportunities to hear the Corps' presentation on the potential dredging in Illilook Bay, as well as to provide public feedback that'll be incorporated into the final findings. Tomorrow afternoon, the Corps is holding an informal workshop at the Burma Road Chapel from 4 o'clock until 7. They'll also make their formal presentation twice at City Hall, first on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and then again on Thursday at noon. Hundreds of Alaskans gathered at Senator Lisa Murkowski's satellite offices on Friday, rallying against the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Rasha McChesney has more on the protests that developed after a Thursday Senate hearing.
Meredith Traynor was having trouble sleeping.
I was so upset about the way the Kavanaugh hearing went. I was really upset about the way the senators on the Judiciary Committee treated Christine Blasey Ford. And it felt really important to do something here in Juneau.
It was a long day of emotional testimony from Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the psychology professor, Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused him of sexually assaulting her. So Traynor, a Juneau resident, logged onto Facebook and created an event asking the community to meet her outside of U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office. She wanted to rally in support of Blasey Ford and oppose fast-tracking Kavanaugh's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Then, she says, she went to bed. By noon on Friday, people were streaming into the narrow parking lot of Murkowski's office with signs, bells, and drums. Eventually, more than 130 people showed up. Traynor says she's not surprised by the turnout.
You know, we have a senator who happens to be in a very powerful position within the current congressional leadership. And Senator Murkowski, in addition to being well-positioned to weigh in and to potentially change the direction of what happens in the future with the Supreme Court, I think her being a woman is really significant.
Right around the same time, 900 miles away, another crowd gathered at Senator Murkowski's office in Anchorage. There, about 150 people had a similar message.
She's the only Republican I've ever voted for, and I think she's in a very difficult position, and we are hoping and praying that she does the right thing.
That's Kim O'Brien. She feels that if Murkowski votes for Kavanaugh, it would be a betrayal.
She's a swing vote, and we want to swing her in the right direction, the direction of morality and respect for women and the American public.
Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., Murkowski joined Arizona Senator Jeff Flake in calling for a delay of the confirmation vote. Senate Republicans have agreed to 1 week, and President Donald Trump has called for an additional FBI investigation into Kavanaugh. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Meanwhile, Senator Dan Sullivan has not commented on the Kavanaugh hearing. While it was underway on Thursday, Sullivan was in the hospital having an emergency appendectomy. He issued a statement Friday to say he's well and he plans to finish watching a recording of the hearing before he weighs in. Sullivan announced his support for Kavanaugh this summer before the allegations of sexual assault became public. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.